Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
Welcome to this episode of Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, your host, and we have a very exciting program for you today with not only a guest celebrity, Daniel Ficarri, who is here in town in L.A. to just revel in his new piece that he's written. You're going to hear all about that. But we also have the ever-popular David Ball here in the studio today.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
Hello, David. Wonderful to have you. As you all know, there in Radio Land, David is our organist here at Christ Cathedral, our organist extraordinaire. But we have Daniel Ficarri here today. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you for having me, John, and David also.
My pleasure. Now, both of these boys, and they are boys next to me, everyone's a child, but both of these guys are graduates of the Juilliard School in New York.
That's right.
Both wonderful organ students. Students of Paul Jacobs, who's been on our show and a very dear friend of all of ours. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about the organ today, although it's going to get a mention here and there. But what we're really talking about on today's program is all about commissioning new works. And that's why we're so lucky that Daniel is here in town.
Well, thank
because
you.
Daniel is recently featured in Choir and Organ Magazine, a very prestigious magazine, because they commissioned you to write a piece for the wonderful St. Thomas Church in New York.
That's
getting
right.
A brand new organ. And they commissioned you, of all the composers in the world, they zeroed in on Daniel Ficarri. How does that feel?
Oh, very special. It's an honor and a privilege. Yes.
It is. You just must be so excited. So in the actual dedication recital, your piece will be performed?
That's correct. Actually, in the dedication service. So it's Sunday morning, October 7th.
Wow. So, how exciting that
yes.
is.
Yes.
Well, you know, those of you in Radio Land know that we are now about 1 year from the dedication of Christ Cathedral. And it just so happens that organist David Ball, an assistant music director, is the chair of our commissioned committee. We're going to be commissioning all sorts of new works in this coming year. And so that's what we're going to talk about today in today's program, commissioning new works and what that means and what it's like to bring a new piece to life.
And commissioning works not just for the concert stage, but also for liturgical use and lots of other purposes too.
Yes, it's such a gift to the church to be able to bring a new work to life, whether it's a new organ piece or a new recital piece, or whether it's a piece of service music, a new Gloria, a new Hallelujah, whatever it is, it's thrilling to have new works. They're not always wonderful, and we're going to talk about that today, too. Anyway, yeah. Daniel, let's talk about you first,
sure.
And then we'll get to commissioning things. Daniel is a native of Pittsburgh.
That's right. Yes. So where you, of course, you spent time as well, John.
I did. I was in Pittsburgh for 19 years at the beautiful Church of the Assumption, and Daniel grew up kind of in a North Hills area near
That's
me, right.
right? Franklin Park was the area exactly, but yes, the suburbs north of Pittsburgh, and I grew up there, and I was very lucky. I went to a public school that had a wonderful music program, and I actually got my start in music playing the violin. I started in their third grade program, and I played all the way up
wow.
until I came to Juilliard. And
did you have a musical family? Where did you come to this
no,
music?
No, not particularly. I mean, my dad loved listening to music always, and my grandparents and various
so
relatives.
So there was music in your home, but not a person who actually played an instrument?
No. I can remember my dad loves to go to flea markets and loves collecting things and all these sorts of hobbies. And he brought home a tiny little toy keyboard. And I would come home, I was very little, every Sunday after church, and I would try to play by ear all of the hymns and all of the service music.
All right. And, well, very good. You had a good ear right from the start. And you grew up in the North Hills, but you played not only at St. John Neumann,
Yes.
the church near your home, but you played out at the beautiful Church of Shadyside.
That's right. It's Sacred Heart. Yeah.
Yes.
Very
just
beautiful.
A beautiful E.M. Skinner there.
Yes.
And I did many programs, even playing weddings there.
Oh, I'm
the
sure.
The present cathedral organist is Kenneth Danchek.
Yes.
And Kenneth was my assistant at the Church of the Assumption. And his was the first wedding I played at Sacred Heart. His wedding.
He's a wonderful man.
A great man. And he was a student at Duquesne when I came to Pittsburgh all those years ago. And here he is, the great organist of St. Paul's Cathedral. But it is St. Paul's Cathedral organ that was sort of your beginning of inspiration to the organ?
That's right. That's the first organ concert I attended. I was in eighth grade. It was over the summer.
Well, and who dragged you to that?
Actually, I had started sort of playing around on the organ that we had at St. John Newman where I played. It was hardly used. It was very dusty, and it looked so intriguing with all the buttons
so
and keys.
Sad in so many Catholic churches. Somebody just told me in one of our parishes, well, they unplugged it and pushed it out of the church. It was taking too much room.
Oh.
And after I pulled myself up from the ground, it was like, what? Are you kidding me? But often, people don't like the organ because people don't know how to play the organ.
Of course. Well, I had started to play around on my own and teach myself a bit, and I remember my grandmother had seen in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that there was going to be an organ concert held at the cathedral in Pittsburgh, and she said, well, don't you think you should go to this? And so I went, and that was my first time.
God bless your grandmother.
Oh, for sure. That was my first time really hearing an organ in full throttle, and it really left a lasting impression on me.
Well, it's a magnificent organ. I was so privileged to play that instrument.
Oh, yes.
All through my time as diocesan director of music there, we sort of became the cathedral organist there. There was a parish organist, but all the special things, I was directing the diocesan choir or playing that beautiful, beautiful von Beckeroth instrument. And what a great organ that is.
For sure.
So
and beautiful
hearing
space.
That for your first organ recital, well, you started pretty much at the top there.
That's right. That's right. I was spoiled.
Yeah. Well, but hearing those sounds and hearing somebody play. You said it was Wolfgang Rubinstein?
That's right. Yeah, it was, yes.
What a fine player he is. And so that magnificent organ kind of sparked the interest in...
For sure, for sure. And I shortly after found a gentleman that was recommended to me that worked at a nearby church, Bob Cardaz, who also studied at Duquesne, which
he
we were
did.
Talking about. And so I was taking some lessons from him. And so once I discovered the organ, I knew that was my passion,
that was
my love.
Right?
And so the rest was history, and I somehow wound up at Juilliard and got to know your wonderful assistant, David, there.
Well, and David has that same story, you know. I mean, it was about taking a young pianist. Were you a pianist first?
Yes, of sorts. I mean, I was never terribly accomplished, but I took lessons for some time, and I always loved playing.
Well, I think so many people come to the organ by intrigue alone.
Sure, sure.
You know, they
mm-hmm.
find it and all the buttons and all the stops, and it's a magnificent instrument like the one that David experienced first in the St. Louis Cathedral or the great organ of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yes.
But it's all of those instruments that those of us who are privileged to play those have that responsibility of sharing that. I know David has a boatload of organ scholars.
Absolutely. Proud of all.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's about getting these young people intrigued on the organ itself. And pretty much they're hooked instantly because it can do so many things.
Of course. And I've found in my own work, it's not only just the young people that don't know about the organ, but even in the classical music world, it's the conductors, the composers, the performers, these great orchestras that have never heard a great organist or great organ music.
Right.
And just to make the effort to educate people goes such a long way.
And some great halls. Like Philharmonic Hall in New York, like the St. Louis Symphony Hall, mm-hmm. Powell Hall in St. Louis, they don't have beautiful organs.
Oh, yes.
Now, here in Orange County, we're so lucky with and Disney Hall, both
very
have
lucky.
Magnificent pipe organs. And Avery Fisher, not so much.
Yes.
But but
someday,
I'm sorry to say that Christ Cathedral actually has the organ out of Philharmonic Hall, and we're not giving it back.
Yes. Absolutely not. We will enjoy that forever.
We will enjoy that. Too bad, so sad. But so Daniel came to the organ, and the next thing you know, you're going to Juilliard. So you start with a great organ recital at St. Paul's, and now you go to the greatest school in America. What don't you do that's magnificent, Daniel? you're just
well,
great.
You know, I'm lucky. I also study with a fantastic, really one of the great musicians of our time, and ironically, another Western PA native,
exactly.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs was a little high school student when I was still there.
Oh.
So, playing in a Catholic church, just like you. Oh. So, he was a great musician then, and, you know, is really, as you say, one of the great musicians of our time. We're so excited to be welcoming him to Orange County. He's been on this show. I know he'll be back here playing at the cathedral once Hazel is back in many, many times. Well, so Daniel, all of a sudden now you're at Juilliard and you're studying the organ. Where does this composition stuff come from?
You know, I had been interested in composing really as long as I was interested in music. It started as sort of something practical. I had all of these friends that I went to school with that through this public school played a string instrument or a wind instrument, and I was telling them how exciting it was that I got to play in church every week. And so they wanted to be able to play with me and to experience this joy that I was finding playing in church. And so it started with I would arrange hymns. I would take whatever we were playing for the week, and I would write cello parts and violin parts and flute parts.
Or other little things away from the melody.
And I just grew to love it. And writing down other people's music and studying stuff that I really loved, I got to know what made music really great and what made it communicate, too, which is important, not just that it's by the books and correct, whatever that means, but that it communicates, which is always what I'm asking myself.
Well, exactly. As a composer, you know, you want to be able to make something beautiful. And people go, wow.
Yes.
And so somebody went, wow, for you to be commissioned by Choir and Organ Magazine. We're going to hear a little bit more about that as time goes on. But as a student, now you're going on for your master's degree.
That's
right?
Correct.
Continuing on in the footsteps of David Ball.
Yes, very much so.
Who also went on for his master's degree. I mean, once you have the best teacher in America, why bother to go anywhere else?
Why leave?
Why leave?
Yes,
our friend Paul Jacobs, you couldn't do any better than that man as a great teacher. He's not only a great artist himself, but he somehow seems to have that ability of applying it to others.
Oh, you know, I wholeheartedly agree.
Great performers, but they're not great teachers or communicators, but Paul certainly is.
And he himself, a promoter of new works for the organ, growing our repertoire each day.
Yes, Paul also sets that bar pretty high, you know?
Yes.
I mean, got all these symphony orchestras to commission a piece for orchestra and organ. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yes.
You know, when does that ever happen?
He brought that genre back to life.
And Paul made that happen. David and I heard him play it in Los Angeles. It was magnificent, you know, and it's a piece that will live in the repertoire now for a long time.
Yes.
Not every piece does that, and we're going to talk about that too in a later segment today about what it's like to commission a piece and how you go about writing a piece for a commission, what happens to a piece that someone doesn't like or doesn't want, or do you go back and fix it, or do you just say, too bad, this is it? How do you get it published? Where do you go from there? So we're going to talk about all those aspects of commissioning a piece, but I think we better hear this young superstar's work at the organ. How about you play a piece for us, a little Vierne, huh?
Sure.
Will you tell us about this piece and where you recorded it?
Yes. It was now, I guess, 3 years ago, I was preparing to give a solo recital at the great Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City.
And again, he goes right to the top, David.
Right to the cathedral.
There's no end with this kid playing in one of the great cathedrals of America, St. John the Divine.
Oh, but I had just a sublime evening before the recital, practicing in there. Late at night, they left the cathedral to myself, and so I said, oh, well, I need to record something. This is just such a magical opportunity. And so I recorded Vierne's Carol on to Westminster.
Well, and here it is, one of the pieces of Louis Vierne, one of the great pieces based on a little Carol on of the Westminster Cathedral.
Yes.
Actually, with one wrong note in it, that it was transcribed over a telephone, and Vierne got one of the notes wrong.
That's right.
So it's a wonder he didn't have them change the Carol on at the cathedral, but he didn't. And so here is Daniel Ficarri playing at St. John the Divine. We will be back with so much more from Daniel and from David about commissioning new works today, but here's some organ music in the meantime. Please stay tuned.
You're listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
And welcome back to Music from the Tower. In this episode, we are talking to Daniel Ficarri and to David Ball, both wonderful Juilliard organists and graduates. And but today, we're not talking about organists. We're talking about composers. And Daniel was just a featured composer in Organ and Choir magazine. And so tell us a little bit about this. Now, how did that come to be? Your piece is actually going to be used as part of the dedication of the new organ at St. Thomas in New York. So again, you're going to the most prestigious church in America and writing a piece. Yes. Who asked you to do this, and how did this come about, Daniel?
Well, my teacher at Juilliard, Paul Jacobs, has had communication before with the people, the staff at Choir and Organ.
I'm sure he has.
That's right. And so they had known of me through him, really, and so I owe him greatly for that. But they had contacted me asking for some samples of some other pieces I had written, and I sent them, in fact, a piece that your assistant David Ball had commissioned. And
we're going to hear some of that soon and coming up on the show.
That's right. And so they decided they liked what they saw, so they asked if I would write this piece for the dedication service of the new Dobson organ.
Amazing. And they actually paid the commission for it?
That's right. Yes.
Now, how did they get permission to be the commissioners for this grand occasion?
They have a partnership right now at St. Thomas Church and Fifth Avenue and Choir and Organ, where they're commissioning lots of works for the dedication of this new organ, which is really quite exciting and wonderful.
It is. Well, we're certainly doing the same, aren't we, David?
Absolutely.
We've got a short list and a long list of organ composers, organ brass, organ and orchestra. We want to have a lot of pieces written when Hazel comes back to life.
Yes,
exactly. Here at Christ Cathedral. And, of course, also for the dedication service. We have a lot of pieces, hopefully a new Gloria, a new psalm settings, Alleluias, all sorts of composers in our works, right, David?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
David's committee is working hard. If you're a great composer out there, send in your works to David. He will give you that consideration. So out of all the people they looked at, they chose you, Daniel. That's pretty neat.
It was, yes, for sure.
And there's a beautiful article for which we will have the link featuring you. Wonderful picture. There you are in New York City.
Oh, yes.
Telling all about your career, but also the piece.
Yes.
So is that the way they're going to do that in that magazine, actually let people have a copy of this piece?
That's right. So you can find the article. I believe it's page 42 and 43 of the magazine.
Not that he has it memorized.
I know. July and August, number 9.
Yes, exactly. Opus 3, number...
Yes, yes. You can find the interview there, which is wonderful. And also, if you go online to the Choir and Organ website and click on New Music Series, there you can download for the next 6 months this piece for free.
Okay. So. And then is it going to be published after that?
That's right. Through my website.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right.
And you can always visit there to find other music, too.
And we will have links to all of that at ChristCathedralMusic.org. So don't worry, you won't miss a minute of Daniel's exciting career. We will have it all right there for you. So this piece is going to be played. Do you get to go play it?
No, actually. Ben Sheen, who is another Juilliard graduate.
Another Juilliard success story.
That's right. He'll be performing it on October October 7th.
So at their service.
Yes, it's very nice to go and hear someone like himself play
a
piece.
Well, yeah, what a great player. I think he's at the convention right now playing away at the
National AGO convention in Kansas City.
Exactly. So certainly Paul Jacobs students have just done great things all over the country. I mean, you can't name one of them that isn't in some big prestigious job somewhere, like that David Ball we both know and love. And also, you know, we've had Michael Hay on the show.
St. Patrick's. Isabel Demers has been on the show from Baylor University, heading up a new program there.
Yes.
So many of Paul's students have made it so big, and how nice of you to credit him for suggesting you. So we talked a little bit about how you came to be a composer. How many other commissions? Where do these commissions come from? How do people know about you?
Well, the beginning of my sort of compositional career was really just me writing stuff for my own use, and I often perform in your parish, like you said. But I owe David Ball a great deal for commissioning. Really, he was the first person that I guess saw something great, a major piece. I guess the most significant of which he commissioned was my Suite Number 1 for organ, which I
that says it all. It's number one, right?
Yes.
There will be many, many more.
Yes, there's a reason. Yes, that number. So I can't stop there.
No, please don't.
No. So I finished writing that piece last March of 2017.
And that was written for David, our own David Ball.
That's
and
right.
Did he perform it? Did you perform it?
It originally started, Danny actually hired me to play on his concert series at St. Paul the Apostle in New York. And I figured if I was going to go to a place who had a resident composer who knew the space, who knew the organ, why not commission that person to write a work for organ in his own space and on his own organ?
We should say that not just Paul Jacobs is a champion for commissioning organ works, but David Ball himself has commissioned a dozen pieces
or so.
One of my
great joys.
Yes.
Have you, Dr. John Romero.
Well, yes, I have too, but not like you. You have commissioned all sorts of organ pieces. I've only commissioned, I think, probably just one organ piece. Most of my commissions have been choral works or service music and hymns, mass parts.
What's inspiring to me is that relationship with composers that you have, the creator and the performer. What a beautiful relationship that is.
Well, and you're developing your own right here in Southern California. David will be playing for our regional convention, our AGO convention, and of course already has a host of new pieces.
Absolutely.
That he's going to be performing
on. A local composer named Alan Tricciano. Works at University of California, Irvine.
That's a whole set of pieces, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a set. It's called the working title. It's actually being created as we speak. It's called Mission Cassini. It was inspired by the Cassini mission to Saturn. And so there will be a piece for each of the moons and the rings of Saturn.
Well, that sounds thrilling. And you can hear that right here at Christ Cathedral next July. But Daniel, you we didn't really talk much about your time as the organ scholar at St. Paul's, right?
That's right. I've just finished my second full year there officially. But really, before I started playing there, I've been a student at Juilliard as long as I've been playing there.
And St. Paul's is right out your front door, right?
That's right. And I noticed that, walking in, you can see right in the front, they have a very fine Moeller pipe organ.
Right.
Part of it goes back to the Skinner organ that they had before that. And I would always walk in and see it, and I thought, I wonder if this is used much or what they do with it. And so I got myself connected with the church, and I started a concert series there, Sacred Sounds at St. Paul's. And so we're now beginning, I guess, our fourth season this fall.
Wow, so you did that even before being an organ scholar there.
That's right.
No wonder they snatched you right up.
That's right. It's been one of my great joys, though. I mean, especially when you consider that it's so close to Lincoln Center, a community of great music that really doesn't hear the organ much. It's so exciting to have a place where music lovers can come to hear the organ.
So do you try to involve the organ in every concert in some way?
Yeah, not every. We have a really diverse music program there, but we certainly have a lot of organ concerts and use it in a lot of ways.
Well, and to me, St. Paul the Apostle means Father Finn, the great father of
yes.
all children's choirs in the United States.
Yes, with the Paulus Choristers.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you read any history of American choral music, Father Finn and St. Paul the Apostle Church is right up there at the top of the list. And to have that right there now, Lincoln Center didn't exist in his day, but to have that right there in the center of Lincoln Center and to have somebody like Daniel Ficarri come along and get a concert series going in this great church is wonderful.
It's really wonderful. And it was part of this series, as David mentioned, that he commissioned this organ suite. And so after he commissioned it, I think I started in about November the year before he was to perform it. And I finished in March of the following year. So this was many months in the making.
It's a three-movement suite,
that's right. A prelude, adagio, and toccata.
Now, did that commissioner have all sorts of requirements for you?
He had, as I remember,
one
request.
Had to just
hold
one chord in the left hand or something easy?
I always tease David. He loves a bubbly and flashy piece. And so his one request was that he got a toccata out of me. And so that's what I gave him. We ended with a very festive toccata.
Very fiery toccata. It's wonderful.
Well, and we're going to hear a little bit of that in just a second. So this has three movements, and David actually played the premiere of this piece?
That's correct, yes.
Very clever to commission all these pieces and get to be the very yes. Nice. And on that magnificent organ.
Very proud.
In that great reverberant space. So that's part of what you take into account, too, as a composer, right? The instrument that it's being used and also the space in which it's going to play.
For sure. And that was the thing, is that I want it to be perfect and really make the best use of the space and the organ when I'm writing for a specific concert.
And you
concert
know how
like that.
Cranky that composer
yes.
can be, that commissioner
yes.
can be.
But at the same time, I don't want it to be so exclusively designed for that organ and space that it can't have a life outside of that. And so I always write with that in the back of my mind, that this isn't for just one occasion or for me or for anybody else, that it could be for many other people.
Absolutely. I'm proud to have given the West Coast premiere of this toccata right here at Christ Cathedral last year.
Well, and I think that is, not to say fault, but that is a problem with some composers. Look at Olivier Messiaen, for example. I mean, when you hear his works performed in Trinity Church in Paris, there's a certain ambiance in that church that carries this music beyond all telling. But way back in the early days of the Organist Guild, he wrote this whole long piece for a church in Detroit, and they put him in the hottest, I must say. It was the hottest place I ever was in my life. We were crammed in there like sardines. It was hot. There was no air conditioning in a July convention, and the church was deader than a doornail. Mm-hmm. So the piece was such a colossal flop.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, everything he writes assumes that there's going to be this ambiance and there's going to be sound on sound, because some sounds are going to continue while other sounds start underneath. Well, none of that happened, you know, and it was just absolutely panned as a terrible piece and a terrible. So it only worked because of that great space of Saint-Trinité in Paris. But it's nice to know that your pieces work everywhere, even here at Christ Cathedral.
Well, I hope so.
Well, there's no doubt. Well, I think we better hear this grand toccata that we're talking about. This is Suite Number 1 by Daniel Ficarri, and it was premiered by David Ball, but this is actually you performing this piece, right?
That's correct.
And where was it recorded?
Also at St. John the Divine, actually.
Okay. That's so nice. This piece has carried some little life here. David Ball adding to the world's organ repertoire.
Growing
the repertoire of great music, this time by our own friend Daniel Ficarri. And we'll be right back with a lot more about commissioning music. Please stay tuned, enjoy this wonderful toccata, and we'll be back with lots more music. Stay tuned. This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Each school has a full spectrum of education and development in the arts. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Welcome back to Music from the Tower. You have just been listening to another piece from Suite Number 1 by Daniel Fucari. This piece, also commissioned by our wonderful David Ball, is the Adagio from that movement. And yes. Daniel, this is you playing, right?
That's correct. And this was actually the first part of the piece that I wrote. I always, when I have an idea, whether I have a project I'm working on or not, I never have an idea without writing it down.
Do you have a little sketchbook? Is that where you write?
I have many. Everywhere I go, I have one I keep at church, one at school, one at home.
Okay, so these melodies just come in your head.
Yes, and I had this tiny, really just a three-note motif, and I had harmonized it in a bunch of ways that I had written down that I would love to do something with this. And it was at that time that David had asked.
Along comes David Ball.
And so there was my opportunity. There was my opportunity to make use of this. And really, I based this entire piece, I worked sort of from the inside out. So it was, this Adagio was the heart of the piece.
It was the first piece. It was the first movement. And so how does this work? So you take these little snips that you just write down. There were other composers that always carried around these little sketch pads, even some artists that would carry around sketch pads, and they would always be, it's a constant thing.
Yes.
You know, it's just something always in your head, always going,
yes,
right?
Yes, and I would go to church, to St. Paul the Apostle, where I knew David would be playing this piece, and I would get there after it was closed and it was dark and quiet, say around 10:30, and I would stay there till after midnight, many nights working on this piece, and just try all kinds of different things. I mean, really, the life of this piece and the creation process, I have notebooks full of music that didn't make it into the piece.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
That you could create into a new piece.
Really,
at some
really,
point.
Yes. So, yeah.
Well, and so tell us a little bit about this composing process of you. So, is it really just you sitting down because you yourself are an organist? Or do you write away from the organ? Do you write with the Finale, that music writing program?
I do.
You know, some people write, and you can tell right away. I've premiered several pieces that you can tell somebody was writing on Finale. In other words, they were writing with a music writing program, which can do virtually anything and play at any speed and play notes that aren't even on the organ keyboard. I had one guy write, and he kept using the B below our pedal board.
No.
It wasn't there, you know,
oh, no.
But he didn't have any clue because he wasn't sitting at the organ.
Sure.
Tell us your composition process.
Well, I like to think that there's a temptation if we're always writing at an instrument to think with our fingers. Of course, that's there's no such thing, but to feel around, to improvise, to not really think very critically. And so I like to get my early inspiration, my ideas. I do all of my writing on paper sketchbook. Finale is, and everybody has their way, but I've just found that's what works for me. That's my last step to enter it into notation software. But once I have those raw ideas, that inspiration, that's when I sit down to the keyboard, a piano or an organ really, and figure out how do I realize those ideas in a way that's practical and makes sense. And people can interpret.
It can be played with only needing 10 fingers
exactly.
and not 12. Yeah, exactly. And of course, some pieces did begin, especially for the organ, as improvisations.
Of course,
you know,
many
we
great
have
pieces.
All these wonderful improvisations.
The works of Turnemir, the works of Durafleck.
Well, and even Bach, you know.
Yes.
There's stories of Bach going home in the Bach Reader, where he would go home and spend the afternoon writing out something
yes.
he thought was pretty cool that he improvised at church.
Yes.
You know, we all do
Dupre,
that.
Dupre, yes.
Dupre. You know, some of these composers needed an editor. You know, there's certainly many long sonatas of things that were improvised. And then when they wrote them down, it's like, okay, well, a good harmony teacher would say, okay, let's take this section out and let's edit this.
Yes.
How do you edit yourself? Is that...
it's a grueling process. Yes.
Did you have a harmony teacher or a composition teacher at Juilliard that you would bring these things to and say, would you critique this for me?
Actually not. Outside of course, all of the musical classes I take at Juilliard are very helpful for composing, but really I've relied on a great group of friends that I have, that not all of them composers, some just great musicians, and all of them I value their judgment and their opinions. The hardest part for me is, because I always am able to come up with ideas when I want, is what ideas are unnecessary? What do I not write? That's the hardest part, because it's really being selective. What is adding to this piece in a way that every note ties into everything else that's gone on? And so that's really the hardest part of writing for me, being selective.
Sounds like you're a tough critic just on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and of course we all do that as organists. You're sort of critiquing as you improvise.
Sure, sure.
Yesterday I played all the masses and I'm improvising away there and thinking, and before you know it, you're thinking, okay, that was a little rambly, or that was a little goofy,
sure.
or that was right on, or
yes.
that was beautiful. But in composing, that's a different thing, because you're actually looking at it written down, right? So
yes.
you're able to weed out some things.
And, yes.
And how do you do that? What makes you make that decision? Just based on your knowledge of what you've learned in school? And
many times, but it's always asking that question, does this moment in the piece, does it relate and does it add to everything else? And oftentimes I find myself, it's very difficult if I'm working in the middle of a 20-minute piece, that I have to, I'm going to have to play it from start to finish and see if this reads well. And that could be a long process, but it's many of these kinds of things, really being sure. I like to be careful with my work.
Well, as we've heard in the two previous pieces, the Toccata and the Adagio of this first suite, you did a pretty good job.
Oh, thank you.
And obviously somebody else thinks you did a good job, or Acquire an Organ magazine wouldn't have commissioned you. But yet another piece commissioned by our David Ball
yes.
is a Prelude in D Major.
This was the very first piece I commissioned from Danny, and it has a very different story from the suite. The suite took a long time. It was a long work. This work was done in a very short amount of time. I was playing a concert at St. Malachy's, the Actors' Chapel, and the concert was on Friday.
Which is where you were the organ scholar.
Absolutely. And it has a beautiful Aeolian Skinner organ, and my program was just about 5 minutes too short. And we were at a social gathering at Ben Sheen's apartment in the St. Thomas Choir School.
I believe it was Tuesday night of that week.
Yeah, Tuesday night of that week.
Daniel, wow!
Yes. And I was talking about, I was telling everyone my program is just like 5 minutes short. And Daniel Ficarri right here said, I'll write you a piece.
And that was how it happened.
And this was your very first commission for Daniel?
Absolutely.
That's right.
I got the score Thursday night, and I think we edited it throughout the day on Friday as Danny went into the space and saw the organ, and we worked on registration about 5 minutes before the concert, and then it's a wonderful, beautiful piece, and it was
done
in such a short amount of time.
It's really nice to have a living composer handy
exactly.
come in and do the editing on site, and That's pretty cool.
That's part of the creative process that I find so wonderful. As a, I don't compose myself, but as an artist and a performer, I like to see the creative process from the other end of it, you know, the compositional side.
Well, and people always ask me that, too. Do you compose? No. But I love to have composers write things for me.
Absolutely.
And there was a, I found a unique blessing in having such a short time to write a piece, was that the result I found was a much more consistent and coherent piece of music. It didn't ramble as much, and the beginning and the end weren't totally in different styles, or, you know, it had a nice sort of constant thread that you
and
could follow.
And this is one consistent piece. It's not multi-movement,
that's
right?
Correct.
This is
that's
just
correct.
One piece. And is this you performing on this?
That's correct. This is me performing at Hitchcock Presbyterian Church, which is in Scarsdale, just north of New York City, where
was
I worked
that your
for two
first,
years.
Yeah, that was your first organ scholar position?
Yes, in New York City. Yeah,
another storied church. Kent Tridal was the music director there for years, and now Dr. John King has been there for a long time.
Yes, and several Juilliard graduates and students have held this position that I did.
Scholar. Well, that's the beauty of being in New York, isn't
yes.
it? I was at the choir college, and it was the same thing. You know, I mean, we were in these jobs that great people held before us, you know, and great performers will hold after us. And it's daunting, really, to be in the New York scene and think of all these wonderful organists, but yet it gives you so much chance to go hear these great performers.
Yes.
And, so this is prelude number, is there a number to this?
Not yet.
All right.
Prelude in D major, though.
So this is the one and only prelude. Is that a prelude in D major and written for our friend David Ball, practically overnight, faster than Handel wrote the Messiah. And this is Daniel performing at his very
yes.
first organ scholar position. We will be right back to find out what new projects are on the horizon. And finally, we've been holding you at bay, but finally we will hear this great piece for St. Thomas Church. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. We will be back.
Thank you for listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Relevant Radio invites you to the third annual Compostela Campout with Patrick Madrid, August 10th through the 12th at the Santiago Retreat Center, located at the doorstep of the Cleveland National Forest, just 7 minutes from the 241 toll road. Come for the Catholic gathering of the summer. Stay for the fun, the food, the workshops. Just go to the website, SantiagoRetreatCenter.org. That's SantiagoRetreatCenter.org.
I see your face again.
Welcome back to this episode of Music from the Tower. We are here with two amazing young organists, David Ball, our very own organist here at Christ Cathedral and associate music director, but also Daniel Ficarri, who is in from New York and is going to be a new master's student at the Juilliard School.
That's
but
right.
Also, we're talking today about composition and his wonderful commission from Choir and Organ Magazine.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that. And we're actually going to hear it in the end of this episode, this segment. So we're talking about new projects, Daniel. What else is coming on the horizon here? What else
yes.
is David Ball commissioned? That's really what we want to know.
I know. Well, actually, a piece that I wrote for my own use and really as a present to a friend, I had the pleasure of, while I was working at St. Paul the Apostle, working with a wonderful pastor who's actually moving to your neighborhood now, John. His name is Father Gilbert Martinez.
We need all the wonderful pastors we can get. We
yes.
have one here at Christ Cathedral, Father Christopher, and we're not sharing him.
Oh, okay.
So we need others.
And Father Martinez is a wonderful supporter of the organ and of music and of young composers and everything. And so as a going away gift to him, since he's leaving now St. Paul the Apostle in New York City to work at the other St. Paul the Apostle in Los Angeles.
You've just been to one St. Paul's after the other.
I know.
You started in St. Paul's in Pittsburgh. Now you're at St. Paul's. And
I know. As a sort of
great.
Going away gift, I was writing a piece based on his name, a musical cryptogram on Gilbert Martinez, which I used the standard system that people have been using for many years. And it just happened to be the perfect musical subject. And so I thought I ought to write a theme and variations on this name.
Did you?
I did, yes. I finished the first draft of it and I played it for him and he was very grateful. So I'm going to finish revising this piece and make that available soon.
How very cool. Well, you know, I as you're saying all this, I'm thinking of other composers like even Bach himself wrote pieces as a gift.
Yes.
You know, he wrote the Anna Magdalena Bach book, you know.
Yeah.
So all of those things were gifts that composers have written. And so that's, I certainly have had many people write pieces for me just as coming here to Christ Cathedral. The organist at Holy Family Cathedral wrote a beautiful anthem for me as sort of a welcome gift, which is going to be published in my series now from Dr. Stephen Van Wy, a beautiful Easter anthem. But it's great to be able to write something that personal and,
yes.
and gives it give it as a gift. What a great thing.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Can you sing the little theme? How did it come out? I'm always fascinated. Like B-A-C-H, that's easy. But how do you get all of these other letters in there?
Yes, well, I took these letters and I put them into the key of E-flat major, which, of course, many composers use to represent as sort of a holy key, the Trinity. You've got your three flats, and I wanted it to have this pleasant major sound. And it so worked out that the name is a sort of call and answer. And so you have Gilbert. Da 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 dum. And Martinez. Da 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 da. And it's,
wow, it
what
really
are the chances?
Out. It was
yes.
great.
I know.
Let's try David Ball someday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I wonder how John Anderson Romero writes. Well, we'll commission you to write something on all of those names. Well, that sounds great. I can't wait to hear. And so it's a set for the organ?
Yes, a set of variations for solo organ.
Have you written pieces other than the organ?
Yes, I have. I actually have available on my website an anthem for choir, SATB choir, organ, and violin, "The Lord Bless and Keep You," the biblical text.
Was that a piece of necessity or someone's commissioned?
You know, it's funny you ask because that was also a gift. When I was leaving Hitchcock Presbyterian Church, where I worked as organ scholar, and that was a sort of going away gift to John King, who was the director there, and to their wonderful choir.
Oh, how great. That's fantastic. I like gifts like that, don't you, David?
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there listening, composers, David and I are both graciously accepting gifts. Well, that sounds amazing. So any other projects on the horizon?
Yes, actually not a piece that I'm writing, but one that I commissioned of a fellow Juilliard student, now a graduate, a composer by the name of Jay Lee, who's also an organist living and working in New York City. And so I'm going to be premiering a piece of his at St. Paul the Apostle to open our concert series this fall on September 4th. So
you're not only the commissioner, but you're the commissionee.
Yes.
So that sounds fantastic. Yes. Let's hear a little bit more before we actually hear the final piece. Let's hear a little bit more about how the Organ and Choir Magazine commission came to be. So
sure.
Did they have requirements for you? What kind of things did they ask for?
Yes. So because the magazine was sponsoring it, they want something that would be very usable for the people that read their magazine and would be able to download the piece. But in addition, the specific spot in the liturgical service, the organ dedication service for which I was writing this piece, was the gospel procession. And so they wanted a sort of almost improvisatory piece that showcased the reeds and was kind of fanfare-like and that built and showed the full range of the organ.
So is this to get the gospel book up into the ambo?
That's exactly right. And so it sort of gives that progression, this feeling of building an organ. It begins with a low pedal point, the sort of bass, the large pipes that they wheeled in, you know, at first probably. And then it begins with this sort of canon, beginning with the lowest, the left hand, and then in the right hand. And as it builds and crescendos, then we finally hear the solo reeds, these
trumpets. So you're holding us out for a little while.
Yes.
Making us wait.
Yes. This introduction where you can really experience, you know, what goes into building an organ, a piece of music, everything.
And how many reeds? Are there different reeds used in this piece?
Yes. I made it so that it's flexible. You can use many. You can use one. So you can play this on an organ as big as they will have at St. Thomas Church, or you could play it on really a tube manual organ. So it's very versatile.
So it's a usable piece, playable by all of us, I hope.
Yes, yes.
And free to all of us.
Yes.
So we
That's
will
exactly
put that
right.
link on our website. All of that will be possible. Daniel, we will be looking for amazing things as you continue
John.
Your career. Hopefully there will be many, many more compositions, including perhaps one for our very own Hazel.
Yes.
What do you think, David?
Oh, absolutely. Shall we
make this happen?
Uh-huh.
I think so, too.
Talent we have here.
It's so cool that all the very talented friends of David make their way to Christ Cathedral campus.
Well, it's an honor to be in such good company.
Well, we are so happy to have you here with
Thank
us.
You.
In L.A. We're so happy to have you here at Christ Cathedral, and we will be looking for many more great things coming our way from you.
Thank you, John.
So now, where are you playing this exaltation piece?
I'm actually playing it at St. Vincent Ferrer Church on the east side, upper east side of New York City in Manhattan.
And how did you come to record it there?
One of my fellow Juilliard students, Alex Padavina, was working there for some time.
Is he the organ scholar for there?
He was at the time that I recorded it. He just started a new position. And I thought, you know, that's the perfect organ for this piece because it has these solo reeds and it has this great dynamic expression, this ability.
It's a big chance organ,
yes.
isn't it? Huge.
Yes.
In a
great
gorgeous
room.
Church. If you have not been to New York and seen that church, it's like a little little miniature Paris just hiding up there in the east side of
it's really
beautiful flying buttresses, gorgeous inside.
Yes.
So beautiful. And who's the organist there now? James
Wetzel.
Wetzel,
yes.
Right? Another Pittsburgh friend.
That's right.
Another Juilliard colleague of ours.
Okay.
It's a small world.
I didn't know he went to Juilliard. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But I knew he was from Pittsburgh. I'm so happy to hear that. Well, my friends, this has been Music from the Tower. We are finally, after all this time, going to hear the Exaltation, which you will hear again come October at the beautiful organ at St. Thomas in New York. But this is Music from the Tower, and as always at the end of our show, we encourage you to get out and hear great music in live performance, and perhaps one of those live performances might just include a new composition by Daniel Ficarri. And so, thank you very much for being on the show. Thanks for being
thank you,
with
John.
Us here. And here is Exaltation
thank you.
By Daniel Ficarri.
Santiago Retreat Center presents the 1531 Folk Fest, Saturday, August 11th. Join us for an all-day, no-cover-charge, end-of-summer event in the foothills of the Santa Ana Mountains. Feed your soul with incredible music from exceptional artists. Alana Boudreau.
Oh, if I could love you more than all the seas.
Hope and Justin.
I wanna take you there.
Perry West.
After summer speaking.
Michaela McCall.
Love you can still.
Merlo Embargo. Josh Beckman. Mending Fences Bluegrass Band. Jessica Gerhardt. Thomas Lockman and the Canyon Aliens. Inspiring testimonies. Sacramental prayer. Delicious food. The creative genius of visual arts in the beautiful countryside of the Santa Ana Mountains. Just 17 miles from Christ Cathedral. For all the info, go to 1531festival.com. That's 1531festival.com.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.